Hi and welcome to the fifth and final episode in Discovery Real Time's Essential Fishing Skills with me, Matt Hayes. Now, so far in the series, we've been concentrating on the essential skills of fishing, and hopefully if you've taken any of that information on board, you're gonna hook a fish, and that is the definitive moment in this sport. To help me talk about it, I've got with me two of my fishing mates. I've got Ed Brown from Furnace Mill Fishery. I've got Stuart Allen, who's a lifelong friend and a terrific angler, someone who's hooked more than a few fish in his time. I'll be turning to the guys in a moment. Just to let you know, if you're interested in finding out more about the information that we give you in this series, and indeed you're interested in getting starting fishing, then you'll find our website extremely useful. So log on to realtimetv.co.uk/fishing. So what will you find on the website? Well, you'll find all sorts. We've got lots of technical information for you to back up what we've been talking about in the podcast. You'll find a definitive guide to over 3,000 fisheries in the UK. So it doesn't matter where you live, there's always somewhere to go fishing. Lots of information there. You'll find out how and where to buy your rod license, which is very important. You must have a rod license to go fishing. And of course, you'll find details of the competitions that we've been running throughout the podcast, and more again of that later on. Now, I've got the boys here with me. We're here to talk about that most exciting moment in fishing, the moment that you hook your fish. This is where your heart literally leaps into your mouth and the point at which panic sets in. Stu, I've known you for 20 years and I am always continually amazed at how excited you get when you hook a fish. It's fantastic, isn't it?
It is, and I don't think I've changed one bit since I was 5 years old, Matt, in that respect. Every time you strike into a good-sized fish, that massive excitement, it's amazing. It's something very difficult to actually just talk about it. You have to experience it.
Yes,
it's a terrific surge of excitement. And yes, I'm just like a kid all over again.
Now, having said that, and I think we all get really excited when we hook a fish, but there is an art to playing a fish, isn't there, Ed?
There is, yeah. A lot of people sort of go to pieces and start moving jerky, winding when the fish is trying to take line. You just need to sort of pull yourself together, relax, and just take your time. Nice, gentle, steady movements with the rod, and just keep an even pressure rather than trying to pull its head off at all sorts of different angles.
Now, that's an important point, actually, because the rod's designed for a purpose, isn't it? What's the rod there for?
The rod is your spring, basically. It's a shock absorber that takes all the lunges and kicks out of that fish when it's shaking its head and shaking its tail and trying to pull against you. That a lot of mistakes I see is people, what we term as flat rodding, they point the rod at the fish and lose all the spring, all the shock absorber.
So then all of a sudden the tension's on the line and the fish bust the line. Because a lot of people struggle with the idea that you can catch a 20-pound fish on a 6-pound line.
Mm.
And it's the rod that actually enables you to do that, isn't it?
Rod, yeah, definitely.
Now, you talked about sort of gentle movements of the rod. How important is that?
That's very important. Every time you make a sort of jerky, sharp movement with the rod, you're loosening that hook hold, you're putting uneven pressure on your tackle. If it's all balanced correctly, if you drag set properly, the fish, as it needs to, it can take line from the reel, and there's no need to make jerky movements at all.
So in summary, Ed, you're talking about you've always got to keep the rod fairly high so it's got a bend in it.
Yeah.
You want to keep a bend in it, but not try and pull the fish's head off. The other part of the tackle then is the reel, because if the fish tries to run away, Stu, it's got to take line.
Yes.
And so how does that work?
Well, far too many people, as Ed says, they play the fish too hard, and also before they start fishing they don't check the tension of the spool. If you're using a fixed spool reel, it's very important to know what that rod and what that line can actually take in terms of pressure. And how you govern that is with a device known as the slipping clutch on your fixed spool reel. That might seem a technical term, but
or drag.
A drag, is it? Yes. And all it is setting the tension of the spool. The spool on the front of the reel rotates as line is drawn off of it under pressure. And there's generally a knob that you can turn on the front of the reel
or
on the back, which governs that tension. And when you start, before you actually start fishing, just check that tension. You should be able to draw a line off the reel under reasonable pressure.
Mm.
With the rod fully flexed, the line should be drawn off the reel steadily.
So basically, if you take the line in front of the reel with the bail arm closed,
yeah,
and just pull it steadily.
With the rod flexed so that you know that when that rod reaches almost its maximum tension, not really its absolute maximum, but it's almost there, the reel will start to give line.
Mm.
And that means that when you're playing the fish with the rod in the upright position or over to the side with the rod fully bent over, if that fish tends to lunge away from you, it'll take line off the reel. It won't break the line or rip the hook out.
So a good way of doing it actually might be to put your hook in a post or something,
yeah,
bend the rod, and just make sure that your reel will give some line.
Yes.
Fairly easily. You don't want it to come flying off there under very, very light pressure, but it should be as you bend the rod, the line should just start to tick off.
As the rod reaches its full tension, the line should start to tick off the spool quite nicely.
Okay.
But the key point, what we're saying is, you've got to maintain pressure on the fish, but not so much that you break the line. So the important rule is, if the fish is running away from you, let it have line. We'll look at this later, because I'm going to go outside and do some fishing, boys, and hopefully if we hook a fish, we can actually see how this works. But of course, equally important, if the fish comes charging at you and the line goes slack, you've got to wind like crazy, because you need to keep that rod bent. Use it, as Ed said, as a spring. Let the rod do the work and make steady, unhurried movements. You can put the rod into different positions to put side strain on the fish and move it away from an obstacle, but do everything as smoothly as possible. Now that's great. We're going to go outside and do some fishing in a moment. Hopefully I'll catch a fish and we'll be able to bring this thing to life. Before we do that though, boys, one thing I would just like to pick up on is conservation in angling. I mean, this is a personal hobby horse of mine. There are people out there who maybe put off from going fishing because they believe in some way that it's cruel or that it's not good for the environment. I mean, can we just lay that to rest now? Stu, what's your view on it?
I think angling is one of the finest things for the environment, Matt. I think if it weren't for fishermen, most of our rivers would have been polluted to death many, many years ago. It's only people who have a vested interest in the environment and who are out there continuously, week in, week out, that can really do anything constructive about protecting it.
Mm.
And anglers are on the bank all the time, and good anglers make sure that they look after their fisheries.
So can you give us an example, Stu, a practical example of angling and conservation in action?
Yes, I can, Matt. There's an organisation called the Anglers Conservation Association, which is funded solely by voluntary contributions from anglers, and it is there to protect the interests of anglers and fisheries by prosecuting anyone who actually pollutes a river unlawfully. So they will take anyone to court on behalf of angling if that person's polluted a river, be it a legal discharge of chemicals into a water or something like that. Sort of thing that can happen at any time. Farm slurry going into a water course. They're there to make sure that people actually adhere to the law and that anything that goes into the water is the correct consistency,
yeah,
that it doesn't actually affect the fishery. And they'll work with organisations like the Environment Agency as well.
I mean, you talked about prosecuting on behalf of anglers,
yeah,
but my view is that angling is a conservation of fish that benefits everybody, because quite honestly, most of the British public are not even aware of what most of our coarse fish look like. So how can they even go about protecting them? I think the only people who do that in this country are anglers. I mean, Ed, on a practical level, you have created a beautiful fishery down there in the Midlands at Furness Mill. You started off with one pool. You've now dug four pools, which are full of fish. I mean, what would happen to your land if you didn't have a fishery on it?
Well, the land basically was just wasteland when we created it. We built the fishery in 1992 from scratch. But it's not just necessarily the look that you can see around the fishery. The place might look beautiful, all the grass is mown, the trees are there. It's what's underneath is most important. You can dig a hole in the ground, but unless you've got that environment right in the bottom of that pool under the water where nobody else can see, you're up against it.
So have you come... I mean, I know that one of the things you do for a living is you actually net fish, legally. You're actually trading fish. You sell fish to angling clubs. You net waters on behalf of associations and private landowners who need to restore imbalances. So you're doing regular conservation-type work. If these places weren't fished, what would happen to the waters and to the fish in them?
Well, you can have all sorts of problems. You can have waters which are left alone. Nature takes its course where you get fish kills. Naturally, fish become overpopulated. The bottoms can become impoverished from the amount of waste that the fish are producing.
But what I'm getting at is how would people know that if it wasn't for anglers?
They wouldn't, because not many people would be out on the banks. You might get the occasional walkers who wouldn't necessarily know about the water anyway. Fishermen, you know, most of us know a little bit about the environment, about what should be going on in that water, whether the water looks healthy or not. So if we see anything, any problems, we can report them to whoever we need to report them to. So, you know, it's important fishing carries on to get people on the bank for this awareness of conservation and habitat.
So, I mean, let me ask you both a question, hand on heart now. If angling were banned, what would happen to the aquatic environment? I mean, what I'm getting at is, have you got any moral compunctions about what you do, or do you genuinely believe in angling as an environmental activity?
I certainly do, Matt. I think angling is, as I said before, I think it's one of the best things for the environment. People look at aquatic life and they tend to be sold images of cuddly animals like otters and Sammy the seal and kingfishers. You've got to remember, none of these creatures can survive without healthy fisheries. And it's only people like anglers who understand what's going on in the water and respond to it in order to maintain healthy fisheries that can assure the survival of all aquatic species.
So, I mean, Ed, let's just say that they banned angling tomorrow. How would we ensure a good future for it? Can it be done? I mean, in the real world, could let's just say we all take up knitting or something, which is, oh, no, you're not allowed to do that because that involves shearing sheep and apparently that's cruel. But let's just say these anti-angling lobbies get their way, say. How would fish receive protection?
I don't have a real honest answer to that, to be honest. You know, you need people out on the bank looking for any problems that might occur. And if fishermen disappear, then who's going to do it? I don't know.
Well, I can honestly say to you, if you're listening to this and contemplating taking up fishing, I really hope you are. We would love to have you on board. You can do so with a completely clear conscience, because as an angler, you will be making a genuinely important contribution to aquatic conservation. That is an absolute fact worldwide. The sport needs you, and quite honestly, the environment also needs you. So get on board, get involved in fishing. You'll find out what a great sport it is. And of course, right at the heart of fishing is that wonderful moment when you hook a fish. Now, we're sitting here at the Watermark Fishery down in the Cotswolds. It's a nice sunny day outside. There's a lovely little pond just outside the hut where we're sitting and talking. And now I'm going to go out and I'm going to try and catch a fish and tell you in practical terms how to go about playing it. I can't wait. Well, this is the magical moment. You join me now outside at the Watermark Fishery and I'm straight into a really nice fish. I've just struck, bringing the rod up across my right shoulder in a sharp upward movement, and I've got a fish on here. The rod's hooped right over. There's a real big curve in it. And the first thing that I'm doing is to get the rod up into an elevated position with the tip pointing towards the sky so that the rod can actually do its work and work as a spring, as the boys were talking about. Now, this feels like quite a heavy fish. At the moment, it's not doing a lot. It's just sitting down there, shaking its head, and I'm allowing the rod to take all the shock out, or the drag on the reels just starting to kick in now. There she goes. The fish is on a run. Now, there's no point in me winding while that drag is ticking. That's absolutely pointless because the fish is taking line. When it stops running, which it has now, I'm just going to keep the tension in the line, allow the rod to do the work. I'm keeping the rod up in the air, no sudden movements. And the tip is just arced over. It's a perfect curve against the blue sky here. There's some nice white clouds up there, green of the trees, lovely curve in the rod. This is what it's all about. The fish now is coming towards me and I'm winding to take up the slack line. I must keep a bend in this rod. If I allow the rod tip to go slack, then there's a good chance this fish is going to come off. Now, he's coming right at me now. Now he's running again. So I've taken my hand off the reel handle. Just let the fish do his thing. He's running, so I'm going to let him go. I'm not winding. And then when he stops, now I can take a little bit of wind line back. Now, one of the things that you find newcomers doing, which is totally wrong, is when that drag on the reel is going, as it is now, is that they start to try and wind against it. It does absolutely nothing apart from put a load of twist in your line. Wait for the fish to stop and then start to recover some line by winding. Keep the rod up in an elevated position and use the rod as a spring. Now, this fish is coming towards the margins now. He's starting to get a bit tired. The rod's still got a real big curve on it. And I'm letting the rod now take all the sting out of the fight. The fish has done its running. He might make just another little dash for freedom. Just a small one. You can just hear the reel giving line. I've taken my hand off the reel. Now I can take a little bit more line back by winding steadily with my left hand. And I've got the rod perfectly in position. And I've got about 3 feet of line between the rod tip and the float. Now this is very important. Oh, there she goes. Oh, it's a nice fish too. Nice big carp. When you go to net a fish, a lot of people try to wind the float as close to the top eye of the rod as possible. That is the wrong thing to do. To get the correct leverage on the fish, you must not wind any more line in when you've basically got about a rod length of line out between the rod tip and the hook. That will allow you to draw the fish up to the surface. And by bringing the rod back towards your shoulder, just literally draw it across the top. Now this fish is making its last circles. It's getting tired. It's up on the surface. There's a few big oily swirls there. Nice tail patterns breaking up the calm surface. The rod's bucking away nicely, but I can feel that the fish is beginning to get tired. And what I'm going to do, rather than winding any more line, I've got about a rod length of line out now. About 4 meters of line outside the rod tip. I'm just going to try and, this is a really strong fish actually. I'm just going to draw it up to the surface now. And I'm drawing the rod towards my shoulder. One last roll. Almost ready. And when the fish's head breaks the surface, I'm just going to draw the fish towards me. But the fish is having absolutely none of it. There she goes. Now she's on the top, heads up, mouth gaping. I'm drawing the rod backwards across my shoulder. I'm not winding any more line in. The fish is wallowing on the top now, just swinging its head from side to side. Its tail's flapping much more weakly. He's ready for the net. He's coming. He's just on the rim of the net. And yes, he's in. And that is absolutely super. I've caught myself a very nice carp there. It's a beautiful common carp, quite a lean fish, but very muscular actually. There's no fat on this one. It's almost torpedo shaped, but beautifully conditioned, and it's got a great big mouth. You could almost put an orange in there. Weighs about 6 pounds. Easy to take the barbless hook out. That is a really, really nice fish. But you know, if you want to find out what it's like to play a fish for the first time, I was fishing with Tanya earlier on. She's a newcomer to fishing. Let's find out how she fared. Oh, you got a bite straight away there, I think. Come on, Tanya, strike. Yes!
Ooh.
Now, don't do anything yet. Just keep your rod where it is. Let the rod do the work, because that's quite a big fish. Grab the handle of the reel with your other hand. That's it. That's how you're going to wind some line
forward.
In. Yep. Just very slowly, though. Do everything gently. No sudden movement.
Really heavy.
Okay, when it's pulling like that, stop winding. If you hear that noise, stop winding. Let's steer the fish now. Yeah, you got a nice fish on there.
Yeah, it's really heavy.
See, I knew you'd come good, Tanya. Now, you don't need to wind too much more line because you can see where your float is. But at the moment, you're not bothered about that, are you? Just steer it away from the next swim. Now, how does that feel?
Quite heavy. It's resisting.
Yes, but your rod's doing the work. Look, you've got your rod up.
So what am I waiting to happen?
You're naturally doing the right thing because you're keeping the rod, you're allowing the rod to do the work. It's in the air, you've got a nice bend in it. The worst thing you can do is point the rod at the fish and take the bend out of it, because then it's only the line that's holding the fish.
What am I waiting for?
basically we're going to wait for it to tire out a bit, because it's a fit fish, it's quite a big fish, and it's going like Thomas the Tank Engine on about 4 shredded wheat at the minute. Just let the rod do the work. He's going to get a little bit tired fairly soon. He's going to go round in circles for a while, and you're just going to let the rod absorb all the shock of that. You're doing very well, actually, by keeping the rod in the air, because it's very important to keep that bend. OK, now it's starting to get tired. I want you to take half a turn on that handle now.
So I just hold it with this one hand?
Yeah, and crank with the left hand. Just bring that handle...
What am I holding the rod against? Me?
Yeah, you can tuck it under your arm like that. Now just start to lift a little bit. That's good. OK, ooh, no more winding. We're just going to try and lift this fish.
My hand's hurting.
You've hooked the biggest fish of the day, that's why. And it's still going around in circles. Right, here she comes. Well done, Tanya.
It's huge.
Yeah, it's a nice fish. It's that's what's called a common carp. I'm going to take the hook out of him. First of all, the hook's out now. That's a common carp, basically. It's the original form of carp that were introduced into this country by the monks in about the 9th or 10th century. And they originally bred them for food, but you can identify it. It's got a full set of beautiful golden scales, orange coloured fins, and that's a really nice fish you've caught there.
I think the most exciting was my first salmon. I haven't caught an awful lot of salmon. A friend of mine had a stretch of water north of Inverness in Scotland, and we went up there for a day, and I was, as always, more than prepared to fish. I'm always prepared to fish and not to catch. I think this preoccupation with catching fish is lovely. But I'm very grateful for the day, and whether or not... catching fish, in other words, is a bonus for me. But I was... The first time I ever went salmon fishing with my friend, I explained to him this theory that it wasn't the end of my world if I didn't catch anything. Wonderful scenery, great oxygen and quietness and no aggravation or pressure. And he said, you'll have two by lunchtime. And I thought, yes, in your dreams, because, you know, you read about salmon and they don't... Some people go a year without catching one or whatever. And I got two before lunchtime. The first one weighed 12 pounds. Nearly, I had the gilly holding me. I was up to my waist in torrents of water. The gilly was standing behind with his hands round my waist to make sure I didn't go with it. And a 12-pound salmon took me on the wave and nearly ripped my arms off. And 15 minutes of the most unbelievable, you know, on light salmon tackle, which is... You feel every movement, every twitch of the tail, if you like. The 15 minutes that followed to land that fish and take it home and eat it, because otherwise, if you don't eat fish, you must return them immediately. But to take that home and eat it and to remember those 15 minutes, well, I don't know. I couldn't compare that with any other experience in actions. It's longer than a hole in one. It's quicker than making 100. It feels better than scoring a hat-trick. It's the ultimate experience. 15 minutes with a salmon. That was my favourite fish.
Well, the exciting bit is obviously the thrill, the tension, the waiting, especially the way I fish, like I said, with a line and a hook and a bit of bread on the end. If you see them really starting to go for it, as we say here in Holland, and they start taking bits of bread away, and then the tension is there in the hope that they're going to take yours, and then you see that big mouth coming and just sucking it in, and then it's, the tension is actually from the moment that it starts going away from you, that you can say, hey, I've really got it now. It's on the end of my rod, and now I'm going to start drilling it and hoping for it to come in. That's the real tension, just the moment before that you see that the fish are looking for the bread, and then when they actually take it, obviously, that's the most important point.
The worst thing is when you hook a fish and it's a good one and you're not fishing heavy and it gets off. Oh, you feel like diving in the pond, you know what I mean? And try and catch something. Come here, you know what I mean? It's like having a 50-pound note in your hand and it blowing away in the wind. I mean, it's a challenge, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's respect for the fish as well, you know what I mean? You've got to do it right. I mean, I enjoy it. It relaxes me when I fish. But it's a challenge between you and the fish, I suppose. I just enjoy it. I enjoy every bit of it.
Every carp angler in the country will tell you exactly the same thing. The, 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 I, I've played in front of some massive crowds. I've been blessed to play in so many talented sides. I've got 10 winners' medals, you know, and I get that same feeling as I did walking out at Wembley in front of like 90,000 people that I do when I hear me bait runner go. As soon as I hear my alarms going, then that is just the feeling of all feelings. It's just absolutely amazing. It's you know, you've been sat there, you've been waiting for it, and it's, you know, you hear your first little beep, and then it's beep, 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 and then as soon as it whistles off, it's just, it's like heaven. And I mean, every carp angler across the country will tell you the same thing. It's just, you know, it's amazing. And then it's the old thud, 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 thud on the arm, and, you know, your right bicep feels like it's going to fall off, but, you know, there's no better feeling. And then as soon as the fish slips over the net and you've got it on the side, it's just, you know, you're elated. You know, I mean, everyone will tell the same thing.
Okay, it's competition time, and we've got some fabulous prizes to give away. Top of the range is our starter kit. Now, this is a total fishing gear starter kit. It retails for over £70. It's got in it a superb carbon fibre rod. It's got a reel with a cracking drag on it, enough line to fill the reel, hooks, shots, floats, in fact, almost everything you need to go fishing, apart from a chair, a landing net, and a small thing called a plummet. But other than that, that's it. You're ready to rock. We've also got some fantastic bait prizes this time around too, thanks to Dynamite Baits. We've got 10 packs to give away. Each pack contains a bag of Silver X ground bait, along with a bottle of the liquid additive. And to win one of the prizes, all you've got to do is answer this question, and you'll only find the information by listening to the podcast. To enter the competition, go onto the website. There you'll find all the terms and conditions and the closing date for entries. And once you're on there, you've got to answer this question. Now, I've been fishing with a lady in today's podcast. She caught her first fish. I want to know her name. Is her name answer A, Jean, answer B, Annette, or answer C, Tanya? Now, if you can answer that question correctly, you could win either the starter kit or one of those fantastic Silver X ground bait prizes. Well, sadly, we've come to the end, not only of this podcast, but the series. And I've got a bit of a tear in my eye here, boys. But thanks very much to you, Stu, and to you, Ed. You've been great. I know you're gagging to go fishing. The sunshine outside. We'll be there in a minute, chaps. Steady on. What have we covered in this podcast series? Well, everything, really, from the kit you need to buy, how to set it up, right the way through to playing the fish, which is absolutely perfect. You know, if you've enjoyed these podcasts, hopefully we'll get the chance to do some more in the future. Keep logging onto the website, because it's got loads of information on there and will continue to have for many a moon to come. I've got to, of course, thank the Watermark Fishery over in the Cotswolds here. Super fishing place. And, of course, Furness Mill Fishery, located in the Midlands. Absolutely perfect for beginners. The only drawback is Ed's there. But apart from that, it's all right. And, well, that really is just about it. Apart from to say, if you cannot wait for your next fishing fix, then you're going to have to watch it on the telly. And there's worse things you could be doing with your time, folks, let me tell you. And remind you, Discovery Real Time is the UK's leading broadcaster of fishing TV programmes. Ask yours truly. I've made about 11 series for them now. There's loads of fishing on Discovery. It really is the home of fishing on TV. Where do you find it? Well, it's available on cable and satellite TV, on Sky, NTL, Telewest and Home Choice. It is packed with fishing programmes. So, until we do the next series of podcasts, it's goodbye from me, goodbye from the Watermark, goodbye from the boys. We're going fishing. I hope you are too. See you next time. Thank you.